Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante along with Dustin Schutte. Dustin, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing great, Jim. I will tell you that we talk a lot about golf on this show to kind of start things off. I'm not going to talk about golf, but what I'm going to say is every day this week is golf-like weather. Low to mid-80s all week. Hopefully, I think we're supposed to have here in St. Louis a few more days in the 90s, but I'm hoping that those streaks of like straight 90-degree days are over and we finally can get to some fall weather because it has been hot, hot, hot here in the Midwest.
We have actually had decent weather around, not your typical August weather, okay? It's actually, I've been out a couple days early in the morning, and it's been chilly, okay? You know, in the 60s. Again, I refuse to put a jacket on. I refuse to wear long pants. But it's like, oh, okay. It's a little cooler this morning here. So it's been a little bit different here. And I often comment about the conversations you and I have before we even get started. And it's not about the show. We'll talk about the most inane things. And the funniest thing is today I offered you up something I read online, which I thought was totally inane, ridiculous, but fun. And you're like, yep, already heard it. My wife presented me the same question. Which was, if you could get all the presidents in a room, like a Fight Club kind of thing, and they are the age they were when they took office, who would win? And the funny thing is, you and I had pretty much the exact, you know, top three that we thought of. You care to share your choices with the audience?
Yeah, my top three would be Teddy Roosevelt, who I think would be the winner, by the way. Teddy Roosevelt, Abraham Lincoln. And now I forget who the third one was going to be. Who was my third?
Well,
now I
forgot. My third one was George Washington.
George Washington. Okay. Yep. And then you threw Obama in there. I went with Gerald Ford. I know he was older, but I'm going to throw him into the mix just because he was a football player.
I went Obama. I thought young and athletic. Okay, so he would have a shot at it. I thought of Gerald Ford. He has the football background. If the guy played, you know, in the fairly early days of college football, it was probably, we looked it up, I think he was born in 1913, which means around 1930 and all, where maybe they were wearing leather helmets, maybe. You know, that's a pretty tough guy. So you got to put him in there. I picked the same. I went with Teddy Roosevelt because he was young when he got into office. And he has boxing experience.
Yeah.
Okay. And I talked to a friend about this, and the funniest line from it was she said, could you imagine Clinton and Kennedy probably off in a corner telling stories?
That could not be more true.
They would be the most – if you change it, instead of the winner of a fight, who would you most like to sit down in a bar and have beers with and trade stories? Those two might be finalists.
I think they would be. Yeah, because I'm sure that they've got stories out the wazoo.
I'm sure they would. So anyway, how about we talk some college football ourselves? This weekend, we've got week zero, some actual games. And you, Dustin, are our Big Ten expert. So I thought we'd go into a little bit of a Big Ten season preview. I'll ask you some of the obvious questions, who you think's going to win, but we're also going to tweak things a little bit, maybe find out some interesting players, interesting games, dark horses maybe. But let's start at the top. Let's do the easy part. Who's going to win the Big Ten? Or if you want to cheat a little bit, you could give me a couple names. I'll then push you for a single name.
For a
finalist. You could throw out a couple names.
Okay. Well, so I'll play both parts of this. I will give you an answer, but to me, Jim, I don't think there's going to be anybody that really surprises us this year. I think the three teams that everybody expects to be at the top, Ohio State, Oregon, and Indiana, I think that those are going to be the three biggest contenders for the Big Ten championship. As much as I think everybody wants to say Ohio State, I have to go with Indiana. They're coming off of a national championship run. Kurt Cignetti's been fantastic in his first 2 years. And it's kind of like, I'll believe somebody can beat him when I see him. Now, I'll bring Indiana back up later in this show if we talk about the topic I think we're going to talk about. But I just, another really good quarterback in Josh Hoover, a really good transfer portal haul. I know they lost a lot from that championship team a season ago, but man, the job that Cignetti has done, I am going to pick Indiana to win the Big Ten again this year. I don't think they'll go undefeated, though. I think they may drop a game somewhere in the regular season, still find a way to get into the Big Ten championship, and then beat whoever they play in the championship game in December.
Well, like you, the big three is Oregon, Ohio State, Indiana. I've seen several people go with Oregon, and I almost think it's I don't want to pick the defending champion, and I don't want to pick Ohio State because that's an easy option. Let's go with Oregon. And I am going to go with Ohio State, and I think for the last decade, I would say Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And if they don't win, they're probably going to finish second. You know, you wouldn't go broke betting on Ohio State. They have as good a talent as anyone in the country every year. And I think they'll match Indiana or even do better at the quarterback position, which is so important. But for me, the tiebreaker and why I go for Ohio State is they have the best player in the country.
Yeah.
They have Jeremiah Smith, and I think that is a difference maker, Dustin.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. And the other, like, they're going to have Julian saying and Jeremiah Smith having that connection for an extra year. So I think that helps. I'm curious to see what their defense can do. They were really good defense last year. I'm not going to argue anybody that wants to name one of those three teams. I think that the separation between those three teams is razor thin. So I mean, Ohio State's a safe bet. I think any of those three teams you pick, you feel pretty confident about it. This stage of the season, we haven't even kicked off yet, but you get what I'm saying.
Well, I'm going to get in trouble probably with some Indiana fans. Now, this is a team that's won the national championship, made the playoffs 2 years in a row, but that your water bottle?
That was my water bottle, yes.
The look on your face, I think you didn't expect that much noise from it. But when you look at Indiana, to me, it's still fairly recent, okay? And I'm taking nothing away from Kurt Cignetti and what he's done the last 2 years. But it's still just 2 years.
Yeah.
Ohio State's done it over the last decade. And I think they'll be good no matter what. But if there was a team that I could see it falling apart, or, you know, and by fall apart, I mean lose four games, okay?
Sure.
It's Indiana, you know. Is Josh Hoover absolutely ready for the big time? I mean, a year ago, the last 2 years, they really hit big on the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Could they survive this year if they don't hit big on the quarterback? It's hard to doubt Kurt Cignetti, but, you know, it does happen. So I'd be concerned about Indiana. With that said, my pick with Ohio State, my concern is their schedule.
Yeah.
They could finish in third place because they lost multiple games and still might be the best team in the conference.
Well, to your point, and this is why I said, so I'm just going to jump into this, and if we're skipping ahead, then I apologize. But
no, go ahead.
The one thing, I picked Indiana to win, but I do think, to your point, I think if there's one of the questions that you also asked was if there's a team that has a Penn State like letdown where they're expected to be really good and then falls off, I think Indiana's the most likely candidate just because they're the one that I feel like has the most question marks. Again, new quarterback, how does Josh Hoover adjust? You're losing a lot of skill from, I don't remember, there was a story from CBS Sports that was put out about the number of returning starters. I thought Indiana was somewhere like 6 or 7. I could be wrong on that. So not a ton of returning talent, but we've seen that, you know, Cignetti's been able to turn that stuff around. And Jim, I'm trying to pull up their schedule because much to your concerns with Ohio State, Indiana, to me, they have a stretch here where after they get through Cupcake Central, they go on the road to Nebraska. They play number one Ohio State at home. They go to Michigan. They've got Minnesota at home, which Minnesota's not, but Minnesota always has that one or two games per season where they just kind of come out of nowhere. Then they have USC at home and then at Washington. That is by far the toughest stretch that Indiana has had since Cignetti's been in Bloomington. And I just wonder, A, when you have that sort of wear and tear, can you consistently continue to do what you did the last two seasons? And the other thing is, let's say they lose to Ohio State. Well, now you go on the road to Michigan. Does that impact how you play and can you bounce back after a loss? So I think that there are some questions, and that's why I think, you know, with this team, Indiana, I don't want to say unproven, but this is a new group, right? So what happens at the first sign of trouble, and can you get through that schedule unscathed? I don't think they can, but it's a matter of how many games are you going to lose. And from October 17th until November 21st, they really don't have – I'm sorry, from October 10th to November 21st, they really don't have a quote-unquote easy game, in my opinion.
Right, and I think that's what I was looking at, that streak. Even if, you know, it's Nebraska on the road, who knows, but the fact that it's on the road, home Ohio State at Michigan, home with USC, on the road with Washington, that's a tough stretch for them. And it's relevant. The answer, you answered the Penn State question for me.
Yeah,
which I was probably thinking the same way, with Indiana has the most potential to have, if things go wrong for them, would they be able to handle it? Will they be able to react to it in a positive way? Who knows? Again, believe me, I do not doubt Kurt Cignetti, but I think when you just start defaulting that a team, because they're good for a stretch, they'll always be good. All we got to do is look at our friend Dabo Sweeney at Clemson, and same coach, same school, you know, and they were good for a longer stretch than Indiana has been. And it, a couple year stretch does not mean it'll stay on that way forever. All right, Dustin, a lot more questions to go. I'm dying to hear your answers to them, too, right after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim, he's Dustin. It's quarter number two of our show. And of course, we're talking about presidents fighting each other, Dustin. What else would we be talking about? So let's get back to the football, though. We are talking about the Big Ten. We started with our favorites to win it. I had Ohio State, kind of an easy pick. You know, I'm picking the default team. You have Indiana coming back, winning it back-to-back, which I think is it's a possibility. And neither one of us picked Oregon, and I don't think either one of us would be surprised. My question now becomes, all right, and we talked about this a little bit, who are the teams in that next tier, and do any of them have a chance to move up to the first tier? I'll throw the names out to you, and you tell me if this tier is correct or if you would add anyone else. I have USC, Washington, Michigan, and Penn State as the next tier.
I would say, okay, I would put Iowa in that tier. Just because, now, here's the thing. They have not much returning production. I think they have the lowest returning production in the Big Ten. And who is going to be their quarterback? But, Jim, I've been asking who's going to be their quarterback since C.J. Beathard was there in 2015. So,
Well, here, let me just interject here. You talk about the amount of production they have left. They could have 100% of their production back, and they might be on the bottom half of the league as far as returning production.
That's good point. Good point. So I think Iowa, just because they always seem to hit 8 or 9 wins, I don't think they're going to be in a Big Ten contender. But the reason so I'm going to put them there. But here's the reason why I can understand why I wouldn't. The schedule at Michigan, Ohio State, at Washington, rivalry game at Minnesota, rivalry game versus Wisconsin, and then at Northwest, and then it eases up quite a bit at Northwestern, Purdue, at Illinois, Nebraska. But again, they don't have they play Purdue, but they don't have a Maryland in there. They don't have a Rutgers, you know. So they've got a really difficult stretch that I think, you know, talent-wise, defense, special teams, I think that they could be very competitive in a lot of those games, but their offense. So I don't know. I think I could put Iowa in there just because I think this speaks to the history thing, right? Like, they're always on the cusp, and you always think every year, maybe this is the year Iowa breaks through, and then they go get 8 or 9 wins, which is, great for them, but they just never have that season where they can get into the playoff. So I think that would be the only change I would make. I don't see anybody else in that other tier.
Is there in that tier a team that you could see breaking through and having a shot at either making it to the Big Ten championship game, actually winning it, or a good chance at making the playoffs?
So this is not me just playing to the crowd here. I do see a scenario where, because of what we've talked about, I don't think Penn State's going to win the Big Ten. Could I see a scenario where USC isn't as good as we think? Maybe Michigan isn't as good as we think with the first-year coach? Does Penn State go 11-1 and get into the Big Ten championship? I could see that, and I could see that being – so what I've said is I could very much see a scenario where Penn State 2026 is Indiana 2024 because of the schedule. They rack up 11 wins. Maybe they backpedal their way into the Big Ten championship game, but they're not that good, and they get exposed. I know they go on the road to Michigan. The game I'm actually for certain that they're going to lose is at Washington. I feel confident that they're not going to beat Washington on the road. So then you've got to win, you know, basically, I think getting into the playoffs, you'd have to win one of two between USC and Michigan. And I think that they can do that, especially since the USC game's at home and USC has had all kinds of trouble traveling. So that would be my pick. I think Penn State's the one that of that group could maybe get into the Big Ten championship game because some teams aren't as good on their and the rest of their schedule is easier. But I don't think that they're going to win the Big Ten. And I think they would get beat pretty handily by an Ohio State, Oregon, or Indiana.
I think that's a pretty good call. The comparison. Indiana 2 years ago, Penn State this year, new coach. Coach brings in a whole bunch of his talent from the last school he was at. Manageable schedule. Thinking the coaching staff is good, gets more out of their team than you expect. I think that's a good call. For Penn State, it's those three games. Because USC is at home, USC traveling across the country, I saw somewhere, and I think this is what makes that Penn State-USC game a really fascinating game, too, is I think that could be a playoff elimination game.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And, you know, the USC still has Ohio State and Indiana and Oregon on their schedule, so if they're going to have a shot, they have to beat Penn State. As far as making the conference championship game, yeah, I think that's where if Penn State could make it sneak in, it's kind of like the old Big Ten where someone had to win the Big Ten West, even if if they went, you know, 5-3 in the Big Ten schedule, somebody had to win that, and it would be kind of that kind of situation. I'm with you. I think of the top three teams, but let's ask about playoffs. In that group, Penn State, USC, Washington, Michigan, and Iowa, who would be your favorite among that group to make the playoffs? And it kind of leads to that question of how many playoff teams are we going to get from the Big Ten?
Yeah. So, again, I think Penn State, because their schedule, is probably the most likely answer here. Here's the thing that's interesting. If USC is good at all, they have enough on their schedule, in my opinion, to get there. As you mentioned, they're going to play they're going to play Oregon, they're going to play Washington, they're going to play Penn State, they're going to play Ohio State, they're going to play Indiana. So 10-2, this team would be a lock to get into the play. But I know that's probably the case for most Big Ten teams. I think I'm sure there's another one out there. I just use Penn State as the example. Penn State's the one that if you're 10-2, I feel like you're probably a little bit nervous about. But I think Penn State has the best chance. I think USC has the best opportunity of that group. I don't know. I think I'm not sold on the Kyle Whittingham to Michigan experience in year one. I don't think that that's, I think they'll be fine, but I don't think they're going to have that Herculean type catapult from last year. I think Washington's another one, but I mean, Washington really doesn't have a big time road game other than Oregon. I mean, you can throw USC in there, but they're not traveling. I don't know. Washington is in a good spot too, because they get Indiana at home. They get Penn State at home. They get Iowa at home, Minnesota at home. Washington may be in that category because they've got a good combination of those home games, and they've only lost one, I think, in the last 4 years. 3 years or 4 years, they've only lost one home game, and that was to Ohio State. Washington may be a good pick in there too, especially with Damon Williams coming back.
If it matters when you play a team, three of their last four games are Penn State, Indiana, and Oregon. Now, Penn State and Indiana are at home, but it's Oregon on the road. You know, they may be, again, I talked about elimination games with USC and Penn State. There's also that Washington at USC, huge game for those two teams. Again, perhaps another, I've got USC in multiple elimination games,
but sure.
Considering the rest of their schedule, they have to win that one. Washington, it might be in the same category because they'll be competing with USC for a playoff spot. And they still have Indiana and Oregon on their schedule to finish the season. They will need some padding early on their win total to withstand that late in the season.
Okay, this is going to be way out of left field here. And this is, I hate doing this because I feel like we always just talk about the playoff. I could see a scenario heading into the final 2 weeks, Washington is undefeated.
Yeah, they would have to beat USC on the road is their toughest game. They have Iowa at home, Nebraska on the road, Penn State at home, all winnable games. I think that USC on the road is the toughest one. Yeah, they could go 10-0 going into those last two games.
Yeah, and then, you know, if you lose, I would think if you play competitively in those last two games against Indiana and Oregon and you're 10-2, I think you'd feel pretty good about your playoff chances. Now they're going to go 5-7, Jim.
Well, you know, what we don't know is I love the quarterback. I love them from two seasons ago. They played him in the second half at Penn State. He was really impressive. He could beat you with his legs. And I think so much pressure, let me take the word pressure away, but I think it falls on him and what kind of season he has. We had that controversy where he wanted to leave, but he had signed a contract. He came back. Now everybody's saying we're good, everything's good. Is it though? Is it really? Here's a guy who said he doesn't want to be here. You know, how does that, just exactly how does that work, Dustin?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big question, right? Like, if he's not bought in, or if his teammates aren't bought into him, then it may be an issue. But there could also be a scenario. You know, how many times, Jim, and I don't want to make the comparison because I don't think it's quite apples to apples, but how many times do you see a player in the NFL hold out for more money? And, you know, you could, a lot of people label it as he's abandoning his team or this and that, and he ends up having a good season and their team plays really well. I think that there's a likelihood of that, where he goes into the locker room and maybe Jed Fish says, hey, you need to address this before it becomes an issue. And he just says, look, guys, I was trying to get more money. I didn't want to leave you guys, but I had a really good opportunity. Now that I'm back, let's put this behind us and let's move forward and have a really good season. I think that there's a scenario where that could be the case. And certainly if it's your quarterback, like if it's your wide receiver, I don't think people care, because that position tends to be a bit diva-ish anyway. But if you're going to have the quarterback and the leader of your offense do that, then I think he needs to be the one to address that situation. If they didn't have that conversation, it could get ugly. But if they did, then maybe things will be okay and they'll be able to move forward and have a successful year.
All right, we still got two more quarters left. We're going to do that right after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. I'm Jim. He's Dustin. We're talking about this Big Ten season. And we've kind of been a little all over the place. I'm trying to check off my questions as we hit them along the way. But let's go down this route. What's the most interesting single game? What game fascinates you? And if you had your chance, that's the game you want to see.
Yeah, there's. I think there's a lot of different answers to this. But I'll give – I mean, to me – and I hold on. I gotta go down the road here really quick so I don't misspeak. But I believe, so to me, August 17th, Ohio State at Indiana, that rematch of the Big Ten championship game, I think that those are the two best teams in the Big Ten this year. So to me, that's the game I think is, if you're highlighting a game and saying this is going to be the must-watch game of the year, to me, that's the one. But close second is probably Oregon-Ohio State on November 7th. So there's two games, but to me, I think just because Indiana and Ohio State have won the last two national championships, it creates the most intrigue. And then again, like Oregon and Ohio State, they had that epic game a couple years ago. Or was it last year? I don't remember. Gosh, Jim, I'm getting old.
Looking at me as if I would remember.
Yeah, I think it was 24 because Oregon won the regular season and then Ohio State throttled him in the postseason. So to me, I think Ohio State Indiana is the most interesting, but Oregon Ohio State then on November 7th is a close second to me. But I'm sure, as you mentioned, like with USC having elimination games, Washington, Penn State's got a couple intriguing. Like there's a number of really intriguing games, but those are the two that I think are going to be the heavyweight battles this year.
Well, for me, I agree. It's Indiana at home against Ohio State. Yeah. Okay, I think that makes it extra intriguing. And if it were at Ohio State, I would default Ohio State as a solid favorite. But Ohio State going to Indiana, I think that's the game of the year. Now, to your point, I think any game involving any two of Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana, Penn State, USC, Washington, and Michigan, it's an intriguing game. Okay, yeah. And I think that makes the Big Ten at least seven deep. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think we've had this ongoing discussion, you know, the Big Ten versus the Southeast Conference. That's a pretty solid top seven teams going on there. It really is. But I'm with you. I'll go with that Ohio State visiting Indiana, which leads me to now I've got my Big Ten schedule up on my screen here. Is there a weekend that you particularly like, a set of games where it's one of those where, boy, I hope they spread the games out a bit so I can hit them all?
Yes, and I've did this research weeks ago, and the reason is because this is the day before I go on my honeymoon. So for people who don't know, got married over the on May, not technically over the summer, but in the spring, and then we didn't want to go on a honeymoon because in that time of year it's really hot and you don't want to be outside, yada yada yada. So we're going to the mountains. Nebraska and Purdue have the same bye week. Works out perfectly, Jim.
Now, so people understand, your wife is a Nebraska person.
Yes, sorry, I should have specified that. Yes, I cover Purdue. My wife's a Nebraska fan, so this worked out perfectly. We're like, great. It does interfere with some basketball, but it's exhibition, so we're okay. The week of October 16th and October 17th, which I believe is week 7, let me just run down the list as to the reasons why, and I'm going to start at the top. This is not the most important game, okay? Washington at Purdue. Ryan Walters, former Purdue head coach, now the defensive coordinator at Washington, goes back to West Lafayette. I'm sure he will be greeted tremendously after going 5-19. Nebraska at Oregon. Again, on paper, based on what Nebraska's done recently, maybe not the most intriguing, but Dylan Raiola, Nebraska's starting quarterback, transfers to Oregon. He won't be the starter there, but there's a storyline nonetheless. Indiana versus Ohio State. Indiana won last year's national championship. Ohio State won 2 years ago. They were in the Big Ten championship game a season ago. Penn State, Michigan. Not only is that a traditional Big Ten, really fun matchup, you've got Matt Campbell, first year at Penn State. You've got Kyle Whittingham, first year at Michigan. You got Rutgers, Maryland, Jim. That's the highlight of the whole stinking weekend. Bit of an East Coast rivalry there. And then you've got Northwestern, Michigan State. Pat Fitzgerald, head coach at Michigan State, hosting his former school, Northwestern. What happens there? Aiden Childs, the quarterback at Michigan State last year, now at Northwestern. All kinds of storylines there. And then Wisconsin at UCLA.
Which could be, you know, the upcoming new coach.
Last game.
And it might be Luke Fickell on his way. Who was that interesting, intriguing new coach just a couple years ago? How things change. I had week 7 down also. I really didn't think of some of those other storylines, but you hit it. Those are pretty good. I also thought week 4 was pretty good. Oregon plays USC, Illinois, Ohio State, Michigan, Iowa. You know, I think week 4 is kind of an interesting week also. I had Oregon, USC. I'm really fascinated by those two teams. You know, I don't know if it's because they're both on the West Coast, but it feels like they'll be battling for supremacy of the old Pac-12, if you know what I mean. There's a rivalry there, you know.
Well, to me, Jim, I think the reason I think that game is probably so intriguing is because it feels – for USC, very much like the Oregon game felt for Penn State last year. Like, USC gets that game at home. It's a chance for, not Lane Kiffin, for Lincoln Riley to make a big statement. And if they win that game, all of a sudden we're talking about this team potentially being a playoff contender. If they lose that game, then you look ahead, and it depends on how they lose. Now, if they lose by 3 points to Oregon, I don't think anybody's going to – but if they get beat by, let's say, 17 points. Then you look at the schedule and say, boy, now we got Washington, Penn State. We get a bye week, then we get Wisconsin, but then we got Ohio State and Ohio State and then Indiana. And you start to think this could go off the rails pretty quickly. So Not the same as Penn State, because everybody thought they would beat UCLA Northwestern the weeks after that loss to Oregon. But that does feel like if USC can win that game, you feel much more confident about the rest of the schedule. If they lose that game, and especially lose it, and it looks sideways, you might start to wonder how much longer does Lincoln Riley have in Los Angeles?
Well, and here at Penn State, we know how quickly things can go off the rails. And, you know, it's the one of the great hypotheticals around here. You lose at home to Oregon in overtime, a game that really could go either way. If it had gone the other way, would they lose those games, you know, to UCLA and Northwestern? Personally, I don't think so. You know, right. And how is history then if that were the case? So, yes. A team can go off the rails pretty quickly. And again, sometimes it's those tight losses. Those are the things that will derail you. Who is there a player in the league that you're most intrigued to see?
This is a great question, because I don't really know if there is somebody that pops off. This is when I like Jeremiah Smith. I think we know what we're getting with him. A lot of the quarterbacks, I feel like maybe Rocco Becht. How does he handle Big Ten? I know personally, like this is a totally a homer pick. I'm intrigued to see how Purdue's running backs, Femi Ejiboy and Travis Terrell, look, just because they put such an emphasis on the rushing attack. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that's really stood out that pops, but I can't, like, we've seen a lot of these guys before, so I don't know if there's one that kind of, I don't know. Do you have one?
Yeah. In fact, I'm going to give one answer to two questions.
Okay.
The most important portal player and the player I'm most intrigued to see, Josh Hoover.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I don't know why I forgot about him. Yep, good pick.
I think that so much is dependent on him. You know, Indiana, again, they got the success they had a year ago because they hit on Fernando Mendoza in a way, in their wildest dreams. They could not have said going into this season, oh, I think Fernando Mendoza is going to win the Heisman and be the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about where they come from or came from, Hoover probably going into this season is pretty comparable to Mendoza going into the season last year. I know a lot of people might say, oh, by making that statement, am I saying Josh Hoover? No, I don't think lightning's going to hit twice. No, I do not. Okay, but can Josh Hoover be really good? Yes. Does it help he's playing for Cignetti and playing at Indiana with a lot of talent around him? Yes. But boy, that's no guarantee, Dustin.
No, it's not. And yeah, that's a good pick, because I think he is – you know, he's got high expectations. Even Curtis Rourke did a really good job. So there's some high expectations there for Josh Hoover to live up to. Okay, so I did, now that I've gotten a chance to think about it, there are two guys. One is a known commodity, and that's Anthony Smith, the defensive end at Minnesota. I think he had 12 and a half sacks last year, like 18 tackles for loss. He might be the best defensive end in the Big Ten, and he's one of the best in the country. The other one, I don't disagree with Josh Hoover, and hopefully I have enough time here, but the guy that I think is the most impactful portal player is Colton Joseph, Old Dominion transfer to Wisconsin, because I don't know that there's a quarterback more important to his coach's livelihood than Colton
Joseph.
There's a job
at stake.
Yeah, exactly. So they put a lot of trust and faith into Colton Joseph and hoping that he can help turn things around at Wisconsin. So is it going to be more of the same? Is he going to be that guy that kind of turns things around for the Badgers? What does that look like? I think so to kind of piggyback off you and to go with two players for one, I think Colton Joseph is the one guy that fits both of those for me. But there's a lot of candidates out there.
There really are, obviously, now portal players all over the place. All right, when we come back, Dustin's going to continue answering our questions right after this.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Dustin. I'm Jim. We're talking all things Big Ten football. You know another guy that I'm kind of curious about, and it kind of ties into Josh Hoover, Nick Marsh, wide receiver going to Indiana.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good pick too.
Just the way they've developed their wide receivers, which is easier when you've got the quarterback. It's easier to have the quarterback star when you have good wide receivers. It's going to be interesting to see Nick Marsh in that program. Going to shift gears on you just a little bit, and I think it's kind of fascinating. Four new coaches, Dustin, in the Big Ten. Yeah. We've got Kyle Whittingham going to Michigan, Bob Chesney going to UCLA, Matt Campbell to Penn State, and Pat Fitzgerald to Michigan State. Each one of these hires is fascinating. Which is the best hire, and who's going to have the most success? And success, I know, it's marked on a curve. Success at Michigan State is much different than success at Michigan. So I get that. But it's like, who's going to have the most success for that program?
Yeah, that, and it's a great question. I think, look, I'm standing firm on this belief, and I don't know if I'm going to give you an answer to this question. I think Kyle Whittingham's hire is much less about winning than it is just don't put us in the news for the wrong reasons, for God's sakes. So to me, I think Kyle Whittingham is at the stage in his career where he's like, I want to go try to win a national championship in a place like Michigan. And I don't know if it's going to work out. I think he's still a good football coach. I don't think they're going to be like the Rich Rod years by any stretch, but I do think that, I don't know if I trust him. He spent his entire life out in, you know, the West Coast. This is, the Midwest is new to him. Big time programs new to him. Even at Utah, when they were projected to win, they'd lose a few games. So to me, I think that it's really tough. I think Bob Chesney is probably the best hire of that group, but can he turn UCLA into a power out west, or maybe not even a power, but can they compete with the likes of Oregon, USC, Washington regularly? I don't know. So, like, I think long-term success, I think Matt Campbell has the best chance to be like a playoff team, but I also think that one has, let me rephrase this. I think Pat Fitzgerald has the potential to be the biggest disaster. I think Matt Campbell has the widest range. How about that? Where I think he could be an 11-win coach and consistently in the playoffs, or I think they could go 6 or 7 wins just because he's not ready for this stage.
I think that's a pretty good call. The hires, they're all logical hires. I'm with you. Kyle Whittingham at Michigan and Pat Fitzgerald at Michigan State, I'm always leery of that coach who's really successful somewhere for a long time, had his success, and now as an elder statesman moves on, you know. Yeah. And I'm trying to stay away from, is this that, you know, the Walmart greeter job? You know, they're filling out the career, getting a last paycheck. And, you know, because I think both of them, want to succeed, but it's probably a different game than when those guys were in their prime. And didn't Kyle Whittingham essentially retire? You know, didn't he say, "Hey, I think I've had enough. I'm done."
Yeah.
And then get enticed back by a paycheck. And, you know, so those two hires concern me. I like the Bob Chesney hire. He's a Pennsylvania guy. He fits the Kurt Cignetti model, not just because he was at James Madison, but something he's won at every level. He's been a head coach and won everywhere he's been. I think that makes for a great resume when you're hiring a coach. And I think he's already changed the atmosphere out there. They're doing well in recruiting rankings. Now, part of that is maybe the excitement of new coach. They're getting more money coming in, which is obviously part of the issue. Matt Campbell so far has done everything right at Penn State. Right. There's good feelings here, good vibes, all of those things. He's still got to win games. Mm-hmm. And with this easy schedule, soft landing, you know, he could win 10 games, even 9 games, and it looks like a success. My question at Penn State, they're spending a lot of money on the stadium. Are they still going to have money to compete with the upper echelon? You know, right now I think their NIL ranks in the top 20. Is that good enough to compete with teams that are in the top 5, you know, with Texas and Ohio State and USC and Oregon, the teams that are really putting a lot of money into it? I don't know if that's the case or not. All right, Dustin, here you go. We named the absolute top tier teams, Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana. We named that tier 2, Penn State, USC, Washington, Michigan, and we threw Iowa in there with a little question mark next to them. All right, of the rest, we still have, you know, another 11, 12 teams. Is there anyone there who you think could surprise us?
So I think that there are a few teams in that mix that maybe could surprise. I'm going to throw Illinois into that mix. They don't have the same hype as they had last year, but I think that that's a good thing. They didn't have much hype 2 years ago, and they've won 9 games in back-to-back years. So to me, it's kind of like that Brett Bielema magic. Like, I feel like even though nobody's talking about Illinois, they lost a lot of talent, I think that they could still sneak up on some people. I think we're all also still kind of waiting on Matt Rhule to get things really up and running at Nebraska, and he's going to have some major opportunities. They get Indiana at home, and then they go on the road. Like, this 3-game stretch, Indiana at home, at Oregon, at home versus Washington, could be a defining type of stretch. But then later in the year, they have Ohio State at home, at Iowa. They've had their struggles with Iowa. So I'm curious to see what Nebraska does. I think if they get through that 3-game stretch, maybe they go, if they can go 2-1, gosh, even 1-2 feels like a success with that stretch, Jim. So those are two teams. I'm trying to think if there's another one out there that could surprise. Minnesota. I'm going to say Minnesota. Because they're another team that's kind of like Iowa, that I feel like they're always 7-9 wins, and they always seem to have 1 or 2 games where they surprise people. So I'll throw Nebraska, Illinois, and Minnesota into that, where I think I'd like to see if they can make a jump to where they're maybe not in the playoff, but maybe they're playing some meaningful games come November.
I'll give you my team, UCLA.
Yep, that's a good pick.
I think, again, with Chesney going there, following, you know, the Kurt Cignetti model, and he's also got the veteran quarterback, Nico.
Yeah.
You know, he's up and down, but when he's up, this is a guy who's very, very talented. He could put an offense on his back. And if Chesney could find a way to get the best out of him consistently, boy, I think UCLA can be a scary team. You know, maybe their ceiling is 7 or 8 wins, but considering where they're coming from, Dustin, I think that's the team that I think could be kind of intriguing.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick, and I think a lot of people have the same level of confidence in Bob Chesney that you do. So I think that I don't think that's unfounded. I think that's a pretty good pick right there.
All right, now here's, you know, you've been to some of the venues in the Big Ten. Is there a venue you'd really like to see a game?
Yeah, there's two, East Coast and West Coast. Number one is Penn State, playing to my audience here. I think it would be cool to check out Penn State. And then the second one is Washington. I think that scene looks really cool. And then I've heard I've heard people that have gone to the Big House and gone to Ohio Stadium, and they say that Washington's louder. So first of all, I want to get involved in the sailgating business. I think that sounds fun. And then just check out a game in Seattle, and then obviously the tailgate scene at Penn State, and just being amongst, 110,000 people?
Of your closest friends. Hey, if you're back from your honeymoon, Dustin, you got Purdue coming in. Come visit us. We'd love to have you. I'll show you around. But I'm intrigued by Washington also. Penn State is traveling out to Washington this year for the first time. I've talked to my friends. They're already got their reservations. They're into the sailgating. They are really into it. The other venue, and maybe this is even why I asked the question, I want to see Northwestern's new stadium.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Yeah, that's a good pick, because some people that were at Big Ten Media Days were able to get access to the field, and I heard it was immaculate. So I have not seen it, but I've heard really positive reviews about it already.
Now, it's not one of those huge stadiums like Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State, but it sounds like they've designed it so everybody is close. They said it has like the feel of a basketball arena almost, you know, where everybody's on top of the field. So that would be really fascinating to see. All right, Dustin, last question. I'm going to leave this open to you. Big Ten thoughts. What should we be looking for? What are you looking for? What's most intrigues you just overall?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big question is, can Indiana replicate the success they had last season? And I don't even think they have to win a national championship, but I do think that there's some questions about now Indiana's got a full schedule where they're playing a lot of difficult teams. Can they have that kind of sustained success? What's Josh Hoover going to look like? Can Ohio State bounce back? Is the combination of Julian Sayin and Jeremiah Smith the best in college football? I think you look at the first-year head coaches. Can somebody like Kyle Whittingham or Matt Campbell, can they take their team to the college football playoff? Can they get 10 wins? Can Michigan keep its nose clean, for the love of God? And then, you know, some coaches like Luke Fickell, Mike Locksley, and Lincoln Riley, will they have jobs at the end of this season? Will they get fired midway through the year? I mean, USC has a very daunting schedule. As you've pointed out multiple times over the last 2 years, Mike Locksley hasn't done anything without Talia Tagovailoa under center. Luke Fickell, we thought that was going to be a home run hire. They've gotten worse each season. So a lot of interesting storylines from top to bottom.
There is. It's going to be a great year. I can't wait for it to get started. Thank you, Dustin, and thank all of you for tuning in. Make sure you come back next time for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.